The podcast on Haunted Hill will contain spoilers and swearing.
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
Bring some of this back home. Be one of us.
I didn't tell you my name.
Hang up.
I didn't tell them my name.
On Haunted Hill episode 12. This might sound a little bit different. It's because we're in a car, a bit of a road trip. Well, kind of a road trip. We're off to Fright Fest. Unfortunately, I am your host, Gav Chucky Steele, but my co-host, Mr. Dan Bone, is not with us today. So, instead I have other people with me. Who do I have with me?
Hi, I'm Paul.
Andy.
John.
Right.
How's it going?
And we are going to Fright Fest, as I've said. Dan couldn't come along, so I said, well, I wouldn't mind trying to bang out an episode because it's been a while since we have. Because I had a baby and Dan's got a really big social calendar.
He seems to see De La Soul like every other week.
Yeah.
So they played up there.
Mad for his hip-hop. So we're going to Fright Fest. So a little kind of brief history of Fright Fest. It started off kind of at the Scala in London as just a kind of place to play sort of band films and cult films and bits and bobs. Then it became quite popular, so they took it to Prince Charles Festival, Prince Charles Cinema in Leicester Square for the first Fright Fest. That was about 14, 15 years ago. It became very big. They moved to the Odeon at the bottom of the Leicester Square for a little bit. Then they went up to The View, which is... Was it View? No, the Empire. Yeah, which was a very, very big cinema. But this year, it's now at the Odeon, which is another Odeon in the Leicester Square. My first movie I saw there was Eli Roth's Cabin Fever, and they gave us a free razor, because the girl shaves her legs. And it
I enjoyed that film.
John, have you still got your razor?
Yeah. Yes, and my book of matches.
Oh, what was that from?
Cabin Fever.
Oh, well, I must have a book of matches as well. Why is it matches? What's that in the movie?
Doesn't feature at all.
Okay.
It's just maybe a nice little memento.
Just a cheap thing. John, you saw House of Thousand Corpses and Rob Zombie?
Yeah, I think that was my first film. The year before when I saw, I think, Dust, an Adam Mason film.
Okay.
And there was something else. I went with my brother.
That was that would have been about 13 years. No, actually, probably 13, 14
I think
years.
99, that's the first flyer I've got from it, I think.
Okay, yeah. And then I went a year after because you told me about it. I was like, that sounds amazing. So we're driving up to London and we're going to watch Adam Green's Digging Up the Marrow. It's the only movie we're going to watch. I wasn't going to go all day Monday, but realised I was a bit broke. So we're going up just for today, and Adam Green's Digging Up the Marrow, which is a kind of, not a documentary, but kind of, I don't know, I can't really explain it. I'm sure we'll talk about it on the way home. If we can grab Adam, we will get him to talk about the movie maybe a little bit, but I don't know if we will, because it's the world premiere. It's quite nice, it's premiering in England, actually. It's quite cool.
I think an unfinished version was shown at the end of last year. At the Butnamathon Film Festival.
Right. Oh, yeah. Who does that? That guy does all the reviews. Harry Knowles.
Ain't It Cool News.
Ain't It Cool News. He does Butnamathon, where he just plays random films. And that was actually... Adam sent it to him, and he got back to him and said, yeah, let's play that film. Fright Fest is a very good festival. It's probably the... I haven't been to really any other British horror festivals, but I would say it's probably the biggest. It's in Leicester Square, which is where you get all the world premieres and British premieres of major films anyway in that square, because there's four huge cinemas there. I don't know what more to say right now. We're going to try and get some interviews. I'll try and chat to some random people who are there just mingling outside, and yeah, we'll get back to you soon. So that was the introduction. So is everybody excited?
Yeah.
Hey, woo. Can I get a whoop whoop?
Whoop whoop.
Whoop whoop.
All right, cool. That was possible. All right, we'll see you again soon. Bye.
The podcast which you're about to listen to is an account of the viewing experiences which befell two Scottish men. It is all the more tragic in that they were young and enthusiastic. But had they lived very, very long lives, they could not have expected, nor would they have wished to have watched as much of the mad and macabre movies they did. For them, a friendship and shared interest in horror movies became a nightmare. The events of their viewing were to lead to the discovery of one of the most bizarre podcasts in the annals of podcast history. The Podcast Under the Stairs. The Podcast Under the Stairs can be found at podcastunderthestairs.wordpress.com or on iTunes.
We're back again. We're still on the journey up there. We haven't got there yet. We decided after turning off the recorder, we're chatting away about films. It's like, oh, we should actually probably tell everybody about what films are on. Andy, what did you say?
Well, I saw that Wolf Cop was on last night, the premiere of Wolf Cop, the UK premiere.
We watched the trailer, didn't we?
Yeah,
and that looked pretty amazing. A werewolf as a policeman.
That's incredible. Sounds quite good. Yeah. Maniac Cop. But
but Wolf Cop.
Yeah, just saying as well that, you know, Gav, you recommended The Den.
Yep.
And they're screening at the UK premiere, I think, of The Den as well yesterday.
Right. Yeah.
Possibly even tonight, I can't remember.
Did you see The Den?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
What did you think?
Yeah, really enjoyed it. Quite different.
Paul watched it yesterday.
I did. Yeah, I'm really, really good, actually. It's obviously Zachary Donahue, isn't it? I think it's his first movie. Because I think when I initially went to watch it, I didn't really have high expectations because, you know, it's sort of a found footage movie, I suppose, in the sort of the broader sense of the word. But I think they showed it somewhere in Russia, I know, last year. I think it was called something like Death Net or something really strange. And I thought it was Russian, weirdly. So when I watched it, it wasn't. I was like, oh, okay, cool, you know, either or, not a main difference. But like Andy, really, really, really pleasantly surprised. Read quite a few negative reviews, which I was a little bit shocked about. I thought it was actually, you know, it held up really well. Yeah, quite an interesting take on, you know, sort of an overused maybe concept. But yeah, I've really enjoyed it, actually. Really good.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be quite cheap when I started watching it, and it actually turned out quite good. I saw it on YouTube, because the next episode we're doing, which should have been this episode, we're doing found footage as a genre, and we could talk about a lot of movies. So I've been trying to get in my diet of these found footage films of different varieties, good or bad, so we've got something to discuss in the next podcast. And then I literally just found The Den by stumbling upon it, and then I, you know, cross-referenced with Fright Fest's guide, and it's playing this year, which was like, oh, okay, so I guess a pirate copy or something got leaked and was put on YouTube, I suppose. But I did watch it. Sorry, I did watch an illegal copy then. But yeah, it was very good. So I don't know, when's it playing? What day?
I think it might be either last night or tonight, maybe. It's in the same place that where we're watching Digging Up.
Is it in a different screen then?
Yeah, maybe, I guess.
Yeah, because they have two or three different screens. You used to have a Discovery screen. It only started this a few years back. Oh, okay. Discovery get like new films or new directors, that sort of thing.
Two Discovery screens this year.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's really good. Because it always used to just be one, and then they did a second one because so many people were like, oh, we want to see the movie. So they started doing like repeats of films they'd shown, say, Thursday or Friday. They'd repeat them, say, Sunday and stuff, because there's such a high demand. Then they just spread it out a bit more. Then you'd get like one screen which would be like classic stuff, which was just put on Blu-ray, like old school Hammer films and things. They would show those and stuff, which is quite cool. But I've never done it. I've always just gone to the main feature. You did one, didn't you, John, in a different screen once?
No, I don't think so.
Tell you what, when we watched Toby Hooper's Eggshells, we should have gone to a different screen. Fucking hell,
I've really fallen asleep.
I was almost falling asleep, and I just said to John, like, John, you know, I think I'm going to have to leave. It's really, really bad. And I did. We walked out, but you felt exactly the same. I didn't know you felt the same, otherwise we could have left earlier. Yeah. It seemed we're both being polite for each other. Yeah, and we just left. It was so appalling.
Yeah, you told me this the other night, didn't you, about Eggshells?
It was great to see Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah. Well, that's the second time now I've seen it on the big screen, because they re-released it when BBFC's director stopped working for him in 1999.
Right. Yeah, yeah. A load of stuff got through then. Last of Us on the Left obviously came through on
Exorcist.
The Exorcist, yeah, yeah.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, they had the big ones.
Yeah.
And they were releasing some cinema, so I did see it twice. But it's cool to watch it in a film, in a screen, in room, or cinema, with Toby Hooper sitting there somewhere, you know. Same as when I went up and we saw American Werewolf in London, the Blu-ray transfer up there with John Landis there, and he did an introduction. Wow. A lot of the cast and crew came up as well, who happened to be in England. Just, you know, which is quite cool.
I've been missing out.
Yeah, yeah, you do. This year, though, Robert Englund, I think, was last night.
Yeah.
I was hoping he might be hanging around today.
Stalking the
It's a kind of a maybe. I don't know if he would be. It's a maybe. I don't know who else is really going to be there. And obviously, as we haven't seen the films, we don't know who some of the directors are, if they're sort of more unknown facially, like not in magazines or whatever, if they're new directors or things. You already know.
There's quite a lot of big horror names in Digging Up the Marrow, Tony Todd and Kane Hodder. So, I was thinking there's a slim chance some of them might be there. Unlikely.
I don't know, because Hatchet 2, you had Kane Hodder there. That's when I met him, and I he's generally one of the nicest sort of people I've met, actually. He's a very, very nice person for the small amount of time I saw him. And he was there because he was in Hatchet, but he had a big part in Hatchet. I don't think, Fright Fest probably have paid for one person's ticket, which is going to be Adam Green to fly over.
Tony Todd has got a firm handshake. Just looks like the kind of person who'd have a very strong
he does. And funny enough, there's a guy I know who has just flown back. He's from England and he's been living in LA for a little while as an actor, trying to get some stuff. And he started doing producing and things. But he was acting in something with Tony Todd. Tony Todd gave him his number and said, if you want to hang out, whatever. And he, just before he flew over a few weeks ago, he went to the pub with him, which is pretty cool. Just gave him a ring and like, let's go out for a drink. Which would be pretty cool. Has anyone else seen any movies or anything recently? Anything cool?
Did watch Machete Kills last night.
Ridiculous.
It was pretty ridiculous.
So that's what you expect, though, for those.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
But it was an hour and 50 minutes. It was too long. By the end, I was just kind of...
Why didn't they cut it down?
Gun battle fatigue.
Yeah,
something like that doesn't need to be
an hour and 50 minutes. Why? It's like, if they're trying to make a movie which is exploitation, there's no chance they would have made an hour and 50 exploitation movies. I could probably be proven wrong, but generally, because it's cheap budget, you're not going to have longer lengths of time filming. So why would they do that? It's just bizarre. So better than the first, or not as good as the first?
Yeah, better, but then I didn't care for the first one a great deal.
Jumping out of windows with intestines and things.
Yeah, I wasn't a lot of that sort of thing. I turned it off, actually.
Mobile phones up with vaginas.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I think they got it right with Planet Terror and Death Proof, but they...
I think Russell carried Death Proof. Yeah. I think that was it, really. That's the
we chatted Death Proof last night, didn't we? I don't like the girls in Death Proof. I just find them a bit...
Yeah, I like the atmosphere. And I'm a big Russell fan. Even an Overboard, I'll take him in that. It is, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean...
Is someone going to bring me my lemon, or do I have to...
exactly. I watched Hellsitter, actually, this week with Goldie Hawn. I'm a big cut. So I think that held it. It's great. I agree with Gavin, actually. It's a shame, perhaps, that the rest of it is maybe a little bit ramshackle. It's not. I think it's paced wrong, I think there's a problem with pacing in that film.
What film are we talking about?
Death Proof.
I think there's. I've already forgotten.
Jump from Overboard to Hellsitter.
It's really funny because I recently watched Inglourious Basterds and Django Unchained, and then actually revisited Reservoir Dogs as well.
Oh, me too.
And it's one of those things of, Tarantino made Death Proof. It's like, I always forget it when I'm thinking about his other films.
Yeah.
It's kind of the one I always forget, just neglect.
What do you think, Inglourious Basterds? I really like the film. I didn't like Django.
You didn't?
Yeah, it's weird. We heard this discussion, didn't we, the other day?
Yeah. And I'm a big Tarantino fan.
I'm a big fan of Django.
And I don't know why I didn't like
it's,
it.
It's Christoph Waltz for me. He's just hilarious.
Yeah, he's very
every
good.
Every time he's on screen,
I just wanted to see him and Jamie Foxx do more of that whole, go get the sheriff. Well, why do you want to go get the sheriff and that, when they're sort of rounding people up? I'd rather that than going to Leonardo DiCaprio's plantation.
DiCaprio.
I love
DiCaprio.
Well,
it's all right, but I just found it boring there.
DiCaprio, there's a bit where DiCaprio, he's it's one of the conversations they have, which is, of course, there's many. And he smashed his hand, I think, it's on the desk, doesn't he? He hit the glass, smashed the glass, cut his hand quite severely, and no one realised. They assumed it was part of the scene, and he didn't. Apparently, he was sort of bleeding out on his hand, and he just carried on. And apparently, the scene finished, and he went, "Yeah, I'm probably going to need to go to hospital there. This is pretty severe." And he apparently cut his hand, I don't know if his wrist as well, quite severely, like badly enough to warrant him having to be sort of shipped off for a day or something, but he just carried on, which is, you know, adds to why I kind of enjoyed the movie even more, really. So, near death.
And if you ask Andy, you seen any movies?
Yeah, I've been watching a fair bit. I actually had a day off yesterday, and Love Film sent me the A-Team movie, so I sat down and watched that. That was fucking dumb.
The A-Team movie?
Yeah, what, the helicopter with the tank?
Yeah. That's like the most memorable thing about that film.
That's one of my guilty pleasures, the A-Team movie. Actually, I've got to say, again, expected to hate it, really enjoyed it.
One of the reasons why I enjoyed The Den is because I've recently watched all the way through the Paranormal Activity series. I saw the first one when it came out, and I decided I was going to, because I've just been like, whatever I get sent, I just watch, and they sent me 1, 2, 3, 4, one after another, so I just watched all four.
Did you watch the Mark ones?
I haven't watched the Mark ones yet.
It's quite good.
It's
not bad. It's good moments.
Yeah. And I watched, off the recommendation of listening to the podcast Under the Stairs, Baz vs. Horror.
Yeah.
They did the Poughkeepsie tapes. Watched the Poughkeepsie tapes, and that scared the living fuck out of me.
That's found footage, isn't it?
It's done so well.
It's got children. Stuff, isn't it?
I've heard it's quite horrific.
Quite dark, isn't it?
No. It's almost like a documentary after the fact of the police and FBI or whatever talking about this case of this murderer. And then obviously the Poughkeepsie tapes are the tapes of what he's filmed.
It's not like brutal,
like torture, and it's more psychological.
Oh, see, it's more what you don't see than what you do.
Are children involved?
No.
Oh, good.
No.
I'll watch it then. No, I just can't do children movies anymore.
There's one bit where there's a girl on the lawn, and you see him, and you're like, oh fuck, he's gonna take her, and you know, it's more like it kind of lulls you into a false sense of security at times, and then bam, there's just something that just kind of hits you. It's brilliant. Genuinely, the first movie in a long time that
oh, I'll check it out. It's on YouTube, isn't it?
It was really, really freaky because I was the last person to go to bed in my house that night. I'm sure I shut everything up and to get up in the middle of the night to go for a slash, and I went downstairs and the fucking back door was open. And there's a scene in the movie where he's stalking this couple around their house while they're in there, and he's like sometimes a few feet away and they have no idea he's there. And I walk downstairs and the back door's open, and I'm like, what the fuck? I couldn't get back to sleep for 2 hours. I was convinced someone was in my house.
Talking of The Den, I said this to Gav actually the other day. I used to love this movie. It's one of my favourites. Quite a few years ago when it came out. I don't know a lot of people who've seen it. My Little Eye.
I saw it at the cinema.
Did you like it?
Really underrated film.
Yeah, great film, which is a lot of these things come from. You know, when I first saw Hostel, I was like, oh, he's just done what My Little Eye's done. And I was like, oh, okay. And it was like, oh, Hostel. And I sort of said to quite a few people, well, you should check out My Little Eye. As I'm sure, as you say, it's really underrated. It's Bradley Cooper's obviously in it for a short amount of time. But I really, really enjoyed it. And on the DVD, it's quite weird because you can actually, you're kind of one of the audience doing it, and you can select kind of who dies and things. It's quite strange as well. I remember on the DVD, it was a really weird interactive experience, like included on the DVD package, but as you say, it's really underrated. A great movie that I think a lot of movies now that do film footage or the internet thing is kind of quite a lot of depth to it. It's one that didn't really get anywhere either. It sort of came and went, I think.
Actually, going back to The Den, one thing that actually did impress me is the girl who played the lead.
Yeah.
Because she pretty much carried that entire film.
Well, yeah. I said to Gav, I thought the acting genuinely was quite strong. And when I just flipped through two or three different reviews from lots of different sites, mainly on sort of Rotten Tomatoes and a few other bits and pieces, and they said the acting is appalling. And I was like, I disagree. Yeah,
I mean, having it fairly believable.
Having watched a few film footage, The Borderlands, which is a British film footage film.
Oh, I need to see that
movie. It's not a great, well, it's got a bit of char. And then I watched Willow Creek, which I wasn't a fan of. It was quite refreshing to see something that is, you know, I suppose film footage, if you want to call it that.
It's Bobcats.
Bigfoot
film footage.
Yes.
Yeah, I need to see it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get into this in the next episode with Dan, but I found it a bit of a cheap, poor man's Blair Witch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I watched last weekend. Was it last weekend or weekend before? Might have been a weekend before. Oh, I don't remember. I watched one night. I watched an amazing movie, which I gave actually 10 out of 10 on IMDb. The next night, I watched a movie which I found completely pointless, and there's no point of the film, even though it reviews British newspapers and they gave it like 100% or whatever, like really good reviews.
Which newspapers?
Guardian and Telegraph and stuff like that. So Saturday night I went and watched Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, great. I'm film. Still dying to
amazing
see
amazing movie.
It's
yeah.
very good. But
I hope nothing but good things.
Did you see Lloyd Kaufman in it?
Yeah, I saw him straight away. As a prisoner, I saw him. But on this episode we have got an Ask Jasmine, and she's actually talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, so she's gonna give us her review of it. I absolutely loved it, I thought it was amazing. But I'm going to let her discuss that. I'm not going to talk about it now.
Ex-tromo James Gunn, but
it's good. And then the movie which I saw, which I thought was absolutely pointless, apart from Scarlett Johansson, or was it Johansson?
That's Johansson.
Johansson. Yeah. Her naked.
Under the skin. Yeah.
Found it such a pointless movie.
Really?
What was the point of it?
I've not seen it yet.
Oh, there's no point.
Again, I'm dying
apart
to see it.
Apart from seeing her naked.
Heard great things, but...
Yeah. No, I just... No.
It's kind of art house, from what I've heard. You know,
very art house. The good thing was, plus side, they just put hidden cameras in this big white transit, and she'd drive around Scotland and pulling up to guys, kind of flirting with them a bit to try and take them in a van back to her house. And these people weren't actors, they were actually people on the street that she would stop and just chat to and stuff. And some people would recognise her, but obviously they cut that out of the movie. But the others that didn't recognise her, they would say afterwards, oh, by the way, you're in a movie, and presumably they signed waivers for them to be have their face shown and be on the film. For that sense, it was quite good. It was very guerrilla style for that, and it's quite good that she did it. And she's very attractive naked, I just want to add.
It makes me ask the question, why don't I live in Glasgow?
What, so you could have got picked up by her? but I found it a pointless movie. A really, really pointless movie. It was quite a disturbing bit of a child, actually. It's left kind of on the beach. I didn't really like.
That's kind of why I wanted to watch the movie, actually, when you told me. It's just for the disturbing
I didn't like it because my mind thinks more about what's going on, and like the tide's going to come in and just wash this child away. And it's just, for me, that's a horrible, horrible thing. But.
It basically sounds like they had the idea, of getting people who weren't actors involved, and they didn't really have a movie to make around that.
Yeah,
it was a long, quite a few years of process, apparently. But I found it really pointless. It was a bit of a kick in the teeth after watching Guardians of the Galaxy the night before.
Yeah, two very different films, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and I loved watching Guardians because I went with Jasmine to the first 12A cinema, and she's only 7. But obviously, it's parental guidance if you want to take your child to that.
Yeah.
And it's funny though, I'm turning up at the cinema and I'm about to I'm walking up with Jazzy and I'm thinking, have I got to do some sort of trick like Bart Simpson to get into a horror movie? Or, what do I do? And I felt almost like I was doing something illegal with my daughter. It's two tickets. And also, do I get to hide and I buy them just in case they're like, oh, how old she? It's like, I didn't know how it worked. But I think because I went with Jasmine, I absolutely love the movie, and it's like a little bonding thing for us. Our first time was a proper cinema. So that was cool. It's very good. Anything else to talk about before we stop this and have to turn it back on again?
Well, I went to America and Japan, which meant I got 4 long-haul flights, so I got to watch a shit ton of movies while I was on the plane.
Oh, nice.
And I remember all of them, but the ones that stuck out was Winter Soldier, Captain America.
I'm watching it on Monday.
Oh, I've got that,
I'm normally a fan of those movies, but that one just it's more like a kind of Bourne Identity sort of spy espionage thing with kick-ass fighting and not so much effects.
Yeah, that was sort of the nature of the original kind of Captain America comics.
Oh, okay, I'll check that out.
Along the lines of that, and then it changed in later issues to him just kind of going crazy and beating up Nazis and things like that.
I was on the set of The Avengers 2 recently, but I'm going to chat with Dan about that in the next podcast, which we're recording this Thursday. That was quite interesting. I've got a nice little story from that. where we actually got to see and sit and watch some of the filming being done. But I'm going to talk to Dan about that.
I did see The Expendables 3 this week, actually.
Oh, you did see it?
I did see it, yeah. It's not. I quite like the first one. You know, I enjoyed it. The second one sort of went because everyone was in it.
The third one?
Yeah.
It's done really bad. 16.7 million opening weekend.
Yeah, there
was. Which they're blaming on downloads.
Well, they can blame on. There's not a lot.
I'd say that and PG-13s, I think.
To grab, really. I mean, Wesley Snipes is in it, which is always great.
You know,
anything with. Yeah. A little gag's made about that in the movie, which. But yeah, you know, it is what it is, sort of to a point. But I don't know. Yeah, it's not even that Expendables-y, really. Some of the action's a bit sort of limited. I like the first one because at the end of the movie, for the last 10 minutes, you can't hear anything because all you can hear is bones breaking and bullets flying. There's nothing but kind of carnage. But this is, they've tried to string a story, and it's not really, really worth stringing a story to it. Really, I'd rather just see L&L action from the get-go.
Is the appeal of the Expendables the star power? Because I watched the first one and it bored the fuck out.
Oh, really? Yeah, I think as well. And then don't watch number 3 because...
Well, no, it just made me want to watch Hard Boiled.
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah, of course.
10 times the film, 10 times the action.
Yeah.
The ego and
And even a better... Is it A Better Tomorrow, the other Chilean
film?
Oh,
my God.
Yeah.
That's a film I watched. Yeah,
which is another... Kind of, or The Killer is, you know, it's a bit slower paced, perhaps, but... Yeah, you know, I guess so. I guess it is. And it's quite funny to see, you know, I really watched Expendables 3 pretty much to see Wesley Snipes kind of, you know. But the thing is, I think what's interesting in Expendables 3 is you remember Wesley Snipes from when he was in his action mode because he did kickboxing in real life and was a quite a high standard, so it goes. And yeah, you remember things like Blade, obviously.
Well, Badass and Demolition.
Yeah, Demolition Man, of course. Now, in this, when he's fighting, a lot of it cuts away, or you get the impression it's a stunt double, so you sort of lose that. And you know, he's been in jail, of course, and I don't know what's gone on, but yeah, so that sort of takes a little bit of the edge off too. So it's okay as a film. It's a, you know, maybe a bit of fun, but it's not something I can
probably
really
be a 15 or 18 recommend when it comes to DVD one.
Very possible. I mean, they might release it. It might be an uncut version, like the first one.
I think
actually,
it
did an extended one.
You get more money in that way. No.
Yeah, I just think it's, even as a bit of a fan of the two, it's stretching it, I think, on the third one.
I think we should call it quits there for now, and we'll return in the bar or outside in Leicester Square or chat to some random people at Fright Fest. Cool? I'm here with Sheridan, a Fright Fest who's been coming here for a long, long time, and we just recorded this segment and I kept it on pause.
That's fine, don't worry. No.
We're just speaking about digging up the marrow and stuff. You quite liked it?
Yes, I've been looking forward to seeing digging up the marrow since Adam started talking about it on his podcast.
On the Movie Crypt channel.
Exactly, and... So, I've, you know, it's going to be one of my highlights for Fright Fest this year, and definitely.
That's cool, because where are we? Saturday, so we're halfway through the festival.
This will be the halfway mark.
So, and you think that's the best so far?
Certainly one of the highlights. I really enjoyed the canal. And
the canal, what was that?
That canal was the. The canal was the one about. I don't want to give any.
No, of course, spoilers, no spoilers, yeah.
But it was at the Discovery screen, so it was.
English?
It was a small crowd. It's an English film.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really good. That,
cool.
And also, Honeymoon, really enjoyed Honeymoon.
Honeymoon?
Yeah, Honeymoon was a really good one.
Okay.
These films are quite creepy as well. I really enjoyed the creepiness of them.
That's cool, yeah. Yeah, do you find with Fright Fest, I always find it's a bit of a mixed bag because I will come out of sometimes I come for a whole day and sometimes I come out of like some movie and that really wasn't very good and then something really good.
I really like to immerse myself in it, the whole thing.
I tell you what I normally do, I don't actually look up, I see what the movie titles are, I don't look at anything of it and I just literally go for the day and just sit going, well, let's just find out, and I don't know what I'm getting.
Well, back when it was just one screen.
Oh, Prince Charles.
Yeah, you could do that, Prince Charles and the Odeon. But when they moved to the Empire, it was they brought in another screen, so you had things that clashed.
Yeah.
So you had to choose. And it's gotten even more difficult now that you've got a choice of three different films.
And how many screens now? So three screens?
It's three screens, but the main screen split into three screens as well, so there's a lot more people can come.
I mean, because it's quite nice though, because some of them you'd get like Hammer stuff being put on Blu-ray and re-released,
retrospectives,
things like that. That's pretty cool to be able to see in big screen. But, you know.
Yeah, I think the earliest one I did was Nosferatu 1 year.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, they've done some Hammer ones in the past, and they've things like Shining, it's always good to watch.
Yeah.
They've done Deep Red, they've done all the Dark.
Oh, amazing, all the classics.
Yeah,
that's really good.
Tremera stuff.
Have you got anything you're looking forward to until Monday?
It's hard to remember day to day, but thinking off the top of my head, I would probably say Faults looks good.
Okay.
The closing film, The Signal.
That looked alright, and I was going to try and do it.
A bit of science fiction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was a bit of a bigger production to some of the movies.
Yeah, because the other science fiction film this year hadn't gone down too well.
What was it?
That was Dark Side, Shadow Dark Side 3D.
Okay,
I forgot the title of it, but it didn't go down too well. But the people I've been speaking to, mostly because the 3D didn't work.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
3D. What do you think of 3D films?
Pointless. Unless it's something like Avatar. Pointless.
I never saw Avatar.
Don't worry.
So,
there's another two coming along, so don't worry.
I remember when My Bloody Valentine remake came out, and it was like major screens, and I was like, yeah, nice. So I went around to watch that. And it was just, slightly disappointing, really. It's just it's a good gimmick at first.
It is.
Like it was back in the
80s. But the gimmick's gone now. I know. And it's just an extra expense.
What you need is William Castle coming back.
Oh, exactly. Bring back the proper
hands creeping on your neck.
Yeah, the proper gimmicks.
Tingler.
Yeah, shock the chairs. That'd be perfect.
Right, okay, cheers for that. Thanks very much.
No problem.
Speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye first.
Right, I'm now standing here with...
That Ryan Martin. Not that I'm using Twitter or Facebook at the moment, you know, but 2015 I'll be back. So.
God, self-promotion already.
Just taking a break.
Stay away.
Taking a break.
I've known you for a few years now, coming to Frightfest.
Yeah.
How long you been coming?
Since 2008.
I want to open my beer and I can't. Oh.
So, can somebody open this guy's beer? Hurry up with the photos.
Make me sound more important than I am.
2008, and you have been doing all the start of the music for my albums.
Once a year,
coming up soon, so I'll be emailing you.
So what films have you seen this, because we're only halfway through the festival, and unfortunately this is the only day I can attend.
Luckily
so,
we bumped into each other
and again to record. What have you seen which is any good so far?
What we've seen that's good. All right,
you've done reviews.
We're the Frightfest 5. We review at the end of every film and then work out the average.
Give us a lowdown.
Alright, so on the Thursday, our top film with 7.6 out of 10 was The Guest, which was the first film, the opening film.
Oh, that's good. Well, it's good. Opening film and ending film festivals should be really good.
And it was good, wasn't it, Ash, on her phone?
What is it?
She just nods.
British? Oh, that's alright. What is it, British or what?
It's UK premiere, it was American.
Oh, Adam Wingard, okay.
USA. And it's got Matey Boy from Downton Abbey. What was the name? I got the body of him. Dan Stevens. I've been told there's a shower scene in it where he's all hot and naked in the shower, and I actually look like that when I get my clothes off. So, but yeah, so that was
not
our.
That was our.
How do you know? I wonder who's at my window this morning when I was having a shower. Tapping on the window. Knocking. Anyway, moving on.
So
but then we had like straight after that, Sin City 2. If you like the first one, you're going to enjoy the second one.
Of course.
It was brutal.
Zombievers.
Any good? It was really good.
I give that
an 8 out of 10.
You can't expect
some
it to
of them
be
give it a 6.
You know, Sharknado type sort of thing.
It's better than that.
Okay.
Yeah. It was really good. You know, once the beavers are in the water and they're at the lake and it's full of teenage girls and they're.
What you need? Nudity, stuff like that?
Boobs. Yeah, one captain get being told to cover up. Ash ain't paying attention, but we'll move on. Oh, yes, coming to.
So this is Friday.
Was it the opening film for us? because the book's laid out differently this year, because obviously...
No, that was the second one.
Oh, I'm interested in hearing your points on that.
Oh, that was the first one we watched, Green Inferno, wasn't it? That was our first one.
You watched Green Inferno? Okay, so what was it like? Because obviously it's been pulled back, hasn't it?
Yeah, some guys pulled out of paying to...
Paying distribution or whatever.
Yeah, so they said we're lucky to see it on the big screen. And I gave it a 7.5 out of 10, and I thought it was really good. It's got its key moments in it. Guy going for a piss, big tarantula comes along, he comes running out the woods screaming, you know. People being cooked and eaten.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what it boils down to. And they're all what? They're not, are they protesters? They're
activists.
So they go into the woods to protect people, and the people they're protecting end up turning around and start eating them.
Very much like Cannibal Holocaust?
Yeah, just a modern day version.
Yeah.
CRISPR shot digitally.
Have you seen Cannibal Holocaust?
Yes. And at the end of The Green Inferno, they had like a list of.
You're not going to spoil it, are you?
No, like in the credits, they were like listed all the films they'd influenced, and like Cannibal Holocaust, Cannibal Apocalypse, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, just a modern day version.
Good effects.
Yeah, they're right.
Screamish was it a bit because I'm not a cannibal fan myself.
It had its bits. I don't know what. Yeah, the one guy got tied up and then covered in ants, but he didn't even strip him naked. It was just him in clothes. Just, and then you can't see what I'm doing, but I'm acting like I'm tied to a post, fully clothed, covered in goo. But yeah, but they're all kept in a cage, separated.
You really want to get naked, don't you?
Just do it, tell everyone.
Well, the world knows now, don't they?
They will do once you get home.
You get thrown out the festival.
But no, I do just get topless and they don't throw me out.
All right.
This one, world premiere, Shockwave Darkside 3D. We give it a 1.3 out of 10.
The last person I chatted to a moment ago, they said it went down like a lead balloon.
Oh, I was trying to break my own neck during filming.
Why is it so bad?
Where do you start?
And why is it at FryFest then?
Don't know. You have to talk to the organisers. I've seen on the forums people were asking for partial refunds. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, have a look on the forum.
I think I want to watch it for that reason.
Shocking. It was absolutely terrible. It was. What was the point of view? Like it's a first person HUD of like a computer game. Oh, I can't even describe how bad it looked. I took my 3D glasses off. I was like, I'm not watching 3D. It was wrong, wasn't it? On so many levels.
I fell asleep after about 10 minutes. It was so I can't really comment.
They had to keep their oxygen, you know, used to a minimum. They're in these rubbish homemade looking box spacesuits and they're walking along, is it the moon, the dark side of the moon surface, and they've got to get from A to B and they're going to run out of oxygen. Don't talk, they say right at the start. It's a whole film of talking and walking. It's shocking.
So okay, what else have you got?
The best film of that day with 8.5 was Dead Snow 2.
Oh, okay. And it's a sequel as well.
Yeah, and it ended up being really good. It could have been so bad, but it ended up being really good, didn't it? And it was semi-subtitled, like straight from the start. It just carries on from where it left off.
Oh, it's mixed between English and...
He's in the hospital.
I was about to say British, because that's a new language.
He comes to, and there's a little lad there, and he's American. He's on his phone, and he's ringing up the zombie squad, who happened to be American. And they fly over.
Of course.
And I'll check it out.
I didn't expect it to be, not an 8.5.
Yeah, no, it's really good. Really gory and funny. It was like laugh out loud funny.
Presumably Robert Englund was here for that.
Yes, he was here. It was quite funny, didn't he? Everyone's chatting Freddy, and then he grabbed his crotch and gave him the good old Willy shake. So, yeah.
Want to talk about Freddy then.
Yeah. It was all right, but downstairs he had two bodyguards with him the whole time.
You're joking?
Yeah, no, he didn't do any signatures at the end either. It was just like, because Dean Postboy was the first one up. Yeah. And they just said to him, no, if he does you, he's got to do 400 other people with him. So it was in and out with security.
Is he around tomorrow?
Who knows?
Nightmare
on Elm Street showing tomorrow. So if he's still in the country, I guess so. It was quite funny, wasn't he? He had his glass of wine and he was just chatting Q&A.
There's Ian over there, the organiser. Maybe you should ask him about the old Shockwave. What was that?
I expect the. I bet you Alan booked it. So, it was an average film as well.
Okay.
Yeah, the last show. I think if it was American, it had more people. It was a boy, girl, and a projectionist. And that was pretty much it, stuck in a motorplex cinema. If it was a more bigger group of people...
Shockwave?
Oh, no, the last
that
showing.
Movie, sorry. Oh, right, okay, yeah, so it's a bit cheap.
Yeah. Okay. But so I really like Late Phases. That was a good werewolf movie.
Oh, I like a really good werewolf film.
Yeah, real practical.
Late Phases. So what? Where's that from? What country? Oh, America.
USA.
2014. Okay.
Matey boy moves into a retirement community, closed gates, and his son leaves him there, and he gets attacked.
Okay.
But the thing is, he's blind, and his guide dog gets attacked and like killed.
What? So he starts to think his werewolf's his like, dog. Yeah, puts a lead on it and carries it around the house.
I don't even understand like why, how he just comes to the assumption that. Oh, every 30 days when it's a full moon, people get attacked. When he's a war veteran, surely he doesn't believe in werewolves. But he does, and he's full on training up for 30 days. Like, I'm going to fight this son of a bitch at the end of the month.
Late phase. Oh, so,
and he's
cool.
Blind, and he did it. He pulled it off really well. Yeah,
wicked, so, wicked. So then we'll move on to Saturday.
Yeah.
All chilly, just die. That sounds awful.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't even like... It was really disappointing. You'd think that means everybody's getting killed cheerleaders-wise, but without giving too much away, it went supernatural. It was like an episode of Charmed.
It sounds exactly like it.
The girls come back alive and then took their revenge on the boys.
My missus would probably like it.
It's on American Netflix. So if you've got an Xbox or PlayStation with American Netflix, you can watch it tonight.
I'm a love film man. I'm not on Netflix.
I really enjoyed the... This is a bit... Look, we went from 8.5 to 4 and it got an average of 5.9, but
okay.
The Harvest, no blood, no gore, no sex, no real violence, but it was good. It was like, you know, watchable. Mark said it was like a Sunday movie with his mum, but it's a movie I could watch with my mum and she would really enjoy it, but it's just a messed up like situation the family find themselves in with their dying son. Basically it puts the family, the mum's a doctor and the dad's a nurse, so they're like trying to do everything at home for this dying son.
Okay.
And just, you know, they just take it too far just because they're at home, they're not in the working environment.
Okay.
So and then Ashley, do you want to talk about the bad Duke? Like, they showed the trailer.
I don't want to think about it. I'm just disappointed.
She was really excited for this film.
What and they, film?
The Babadook.
The Babadook.
Babadook. It's a good name. Don't know what it means. Sounds
good. Yeah, they asked that during the Q&A, and it was just, it's just something the kids would make up. But
yeah.
Ashley really wanted to...
I saw the trailer, like, months ago, and it looked really scary. And then...
It wasn't.
It just wasn't. It was wasn't. A good film. It wasn't a good horror film.
The trailer bit, okay. The trailer was semi-scary because I hadn't seen it until like, they showed it here like, what, twice, three times before we watched the film. So it just gave all the scary bits away. And that was, you know, that was the best
trailers
bits.
Can be bad, can't they? Do you need to get to... Oh, sorry.
No, he's just with us.
One of the all right.
Yeah.
Another Fright Fester.
It coaches you.
Is it? Yeah. I'll go back on my special bus.
Oh, all right. The sunshine bus.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that was pretty much it.
Okay, so what else are you looking forward to? Anything good?
I don't read the programme anymore. It's all a surprise.
No, I don't. I used to just go and watch
what
whatever.
What are we looking forward to?
I haven't read the programme either.
Have you read the programme? See, we
no,
all just...
got it.
Yeah, I'm not really. I only fill the pages in once we get the numbers. I don't read what we're going to watch.
All right,
so.
Well, really, isn't it?
But yeah, so who knows?
Thank you very much. I hope you enjoy the rest of it.
Exmoor. That's on my doorstep. I'm from North Devon. That was filmed at practically on my
did
home.
Did you know?
No, but yeah, now I do.
Oh,
I was like, Exmoor? That's not how you spell
it.
They spell it wrong as well. There's an E on the start. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, but anyway, always a pleasure, Gav.
Cheers, thank you very much. Speak to you soon.
Cheers, bud.
Ask Jasmine.
Hello, Jasmine. How are you?
Good.
You
all
right?
Yes.
Where did we go last night?
Cinema.
Talk normally, don't shout.
Cinema.
What did we go and watch?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, I've been thinking about that movie since we watched it, because I think it's very, 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 very good. Now, I was trying to think why it's so good. Why do you think it's good?
Because it was Marvel, and Marvel's really good at movies.
They are pretty good at making movies. Do you know who owns Marvel? Disney.
Oh, yeah.
They do now. They brought them. They brought the company. So, Guardians of the Galaxy, why do you think the movie is good for you, though? What was entertaining for you?
The funny bits, I love them.
They were really funny, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like Groot, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh.
Then the smiley face.
Yeah.
I am Groot.
All he funny says is just, I am Groot.
Apart from at the end.
Yeah, apart from at the end, he
Don't
says,
spoil it, though, for anyone.
We are Groot.
We are Groot, yeah. But I was thinking about the movie, and it kind of makes me think, because you were so excited by it, and I'm quite happy to just watch it again. And because there's bits in the movie which are a little bit like Star Wars.
Yeah.
But the way there's like a few different people.
Yeah. And they go into space, which Star Wars.
Yep, they go on a mission in space to save like
someone or something.
Yeah,
they saved the green girl in. They saved the green girl in space.
Mm-hmm. So that's a bit like Star Wars. Like Chewbacca's a bit like Groot.
Yeah.
Chewbacca.
And
so Han Solo'd be a bit like the raccoon because he understands him.
And yeah, the person says, "I can't believe I'm taking rules from a hamster." I love that part.
Yeah. And it's a bit like Star Wars, and Star Wars was very good, and you could watch it over and over and over, had everything you wanted in it. And this kind of reminds me of it.
I want to watch it again.
Exactly. That's what it makes a good movie. You want to watch it again. Now, I think it's really good because it had sad bits, it had really funny bits, scary bits almost.
And halfway through it, when I was laughing, my daddy had to cover his hand over my mouth because I was laughing so hard.
You weren't laughing very hard. The trouble was that you were lying on top of me in the cinema.
Yeah.
So, like, when I would stop you laughing, but I would laugh too, my body would move up and down and you would feel me, so you'd start laughing again. It was such a good movie. I was really happy. I quite happily watched that again.
Yeah, and every time Groot sees someone dead, he goes... And then at the last point, he gets his hat, sticks his hand in lots of people, and then bangs them on the wall.
Then looks back and then, does a funny smile.
Yeah, it was really funny. Like this.
But they can't see you, can they?
They're listening. I know. But they can hear me.
Exactly. Okay, what else about the movie is good?
Where this is a nice part where they said, we are Groot.
What, the trees?
Yeah.
We are Groot, all together, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's other nice bits in it as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, but I can't remember any.
I know. But that's the thing, though, there's so much stuff going on, it was quite hard to watch. It's the sort of movie you need to watch quite a few times.
And Groot, he just got the battery when the raccoon said, okay, when we get the battery, the lights will turn off. And then Groot just goes...
Reaches it.
Reaches and pulls it. And then everywhere goes dark and these little thinny spaceships just shoot him.
Yeah.
But he never dies because he's root hard.
Yeah. I imagine that someone could probably set fire to him, though. That'd probably be quite bad.
Yeah, but the raccoon's on him.
But the raccoon helps him, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, because of this.
Is that him with the gun? So would you recommend this to your friends on the playground? Yeah, I definitely would, and I want to watch it again. Like I say, it kind of makes me feel like Star Wars. Like, I think you would probably watch this movie over and over again.
I'm being the
like
raccoon,
I used to.
Though. I am definitely being the raccoon.
Right. And they're going to make more of these. They're making a part two. So
can we go and see it?
Yes. So there'll probably be three parts, I expect. Kind of a bit like Star Wars. Well... The original Star Wars.
Star Wars got more.
Yeah, you got the other three. I don't count them that much, but I need to watch them again at some point. We could watch them again.
Can we buy the DVD when it's out for a DVD?
Guardians of the Galaxy. We could buy the Blu-ray. Okay, cool. So that's it then.
Blah, 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 blah. Thank you for having me. Thank you for listening!
Right, so all four of us are back now from watching Digging Up the Marrow, the only film we're unfortunately seeing this year at Fright Fest. So what did everyone think?
Liked it, but...
A bit louder.
Liked it, but...
What?
It felt longer than the 88 minutes that it was supposed to be. I can't believe that it really was only 88 minutes. It did drag. Not that it... I wouldn't say it was boring at all.
I was trying to guess at when it was going to finish. I wasn't really sure. And I was like, well, is it now? Is it? Because that point when all the... I don't want to spoil it. There's a point when a lot of things attack. I thought, oh, that must be the end of it. This is like, this is the end of it. And then it kind of cut again. So I found it as a kind of found footage mockumentary, I would say, as a genre. Yeah, it's quite good, quite different.
That's probably my favourite part, the monster attack. I thought it was quite intense, really well done.
Yeah, there was a lot of louder sound score design going on there. You guys?
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. I thought Ray Wise was excellent. I thought he pretty much made the movie. Yeah, really good. Really quite original in how it was presented as well. It was really nicely done. It was quite comic. Unfortunately, without obviously ruining anything, the classic, we're not going to kind of, you know, we're going to leave certain things to your imagination is inevitably what, for me, ruins it a little bit. It's a bit, you know, it cheapens it towards the end, if you like.
Quite a unique idea.
It's a unique idea. I think it's a great film. It's just the ending is a little bit of a disappointment, which let it down. I wish they'd sort of tied it up really a little bit on that. But I think it's a great, I think Ray Wise is excellent in it. And I think genuinely pretty funny as well.
It was very good.
Yeah, I'm with John. I thought it ran a little, well, it didn't run a little long, but it just felt like longer than 88 minutes.
Yeah.
But then once it started to pick up pace a little bit in the second half, I kind of didn't want it to end because it started to get really exciting in places.
It got into what you wanted to see.
It got, yeah. That's my point. It took a little bit too long to get where I wanted it to be.
I was thinking, are they going to cheapen it so you're not actually going to see it and it's going to get to the end and they're like, oh, actually, we didn't see anything. Yeah, we tried
it,
to.
It felt like a 2.5 hour movie, actually, if I'm honest. It did feel like a
John
bit
was saying
of a long.
It dragged a little bit.
I agree with John.
It
was
short. Yeah. And it was chopped quite a bit. Processes, but
I think there's so much again at the start, so much of the build. I mean, in a way, I can liken it to Willow Creek. But there's so much build up, and then you get, you know, 2/3 build up, 1/3 kind of action, which I don't necessarily think is.
I think my biggest issue was the fact that it's my first Fright Fest, it's my first ever film at Fright Fest. I wanted to be frightened, I wanted something like to get my teeth into, and I'm sitting there going, okay, well, this is all well and good, and it's quite funny, and it's different, and like you say, Ray Wise was amazing, but I wanted it to be like where it was for the last half an hour sooner, so we had way more action. The practical effects were fantastic, and you know, not going into too much detail. But,
It's quite hard to talk about spoiling it, unfortunately.
The best thing I've seen Kane Hodder do. On screen.
As Adam said, he's completely realistic to the fact that he didn't know what they were doing. He just came and sat down and he's almost taking a piss out of him. All right, show me some more stuff. That's it, is it? All right, okay.
Well, I think Mick Garris proved that he's about as good an actor as he is a director.
that's true. I'll second.
Yeah, well,
that,
yeah, fair of. Play, yeah. Cool, alright then. We're sitting in the bar, everyone's cleaning up behind around us. Well, they were, because now clean. Alright, so, well, I guess we wander outside. I don't know, because everyone's going into the next movie, I suppose. Yeah. And what is that film? Apparently, Dead Snow 2 apparently is very, very good.
I'd definitely recommend it, you know,
I'd recommend it.
Again, I think purely from an interesting kind of point of view. Purely because, you know, that's an original point of view.
She's in a few movies. Oh, that's the one I was talking about with Elijah Wood. That's his production company. Andy says he's seen Sasha Grey. Some compromising situation.
Yeah, I was just going to see, actually, because it says the director's Nacho Vigalondo. I just saw Nacho Vidal.
Nachos.
I'm just thinking nachos. Just thinking, you know, Sasha Grey, John?
No.
Porn star.
Yeah, okay.
She gave up porn. She started when she was 18. And got out of it when she was like 22, made a lot of money. Became pretty popular. She's been in a few films now.
Yeah, Jenna Michael, she's
in Piranha. She's in Tate with David Hess.
Really?
Yeah, Jenna Michael's in Piranha. She's paragliding. Jenna Michael's, yeah.
Big tatas.
Yeah, she's in Piranha. She gets eaten.
That's a bad movie. Piranha 3D is even worse.
That's alright, the first Piranha.
You've seen the second one?
The remake.
Jesus, the second one.
No, I haven't seen the second one.
I like it when David Hasselhoff slaps the kid or whatever and just disses the kid.
Oh, no, sorry, I have seen the second one. Yeah, of course I have. It's got David Hasselhoff in.
Hasselhoff was the only one.
Go give me my legs.
That's
the only good bit.
I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was alright, you know.
How are we all talking about Piranha? Jesus. Okay, well, that's
David Hufflehuff.
David Hasselhoff.
David Hufflehuff.
Right, should we go now before we just bore all the listeners completely? Right.
All the listeners.
Have listeners?
Well, yeah, all the listeners. I think they're here.
Maybe. Yeah, that's it. Okay, so that was episode 12 of the podcast on Haunted Hill. A bit of a different episode this time. I was about to say this week, but we proven track record that we don't do shows every week. But we haven't done one for a while, so I just wanted to bang something out. I'm recording in a couple of days' time with Dan again, so we'll be back on the case. We're doing the found footage genre, so that'll be episode 13, unlucky for some. That score you just heard was from from 28 Days Later. It's pretty good a score, which I was supposed to play last episode and I forgot, and played the Predator score. So that's a bit of that. Sorry about the high pitch sound on a couple of those interview things back then, just where we were recording. I didn't pick it up at the time. And that's what happened, unfortunately. It's quite busy there, so, you know. And it's at View Fright Fest, not at the Odeon. I said it's the Odeon. That's because I hadn't a clue when I was driving up there, and it's in Leicester Square, which is just, as it says, a square. So, and there's loads of cinemas, so I'd eventually found it. Hopefully, I will next year. No, I definitely will go for, like, a full day. As we just started the podcast, I've never done it before, but I've been to Fright Fest many, many times. So next time I'll go for a full day again like I normally do, and just go on the Monday and get the take on all the movies which have just come out and see what people think next year. And yeah, that's it. So sorry Dan wasn't here with me on this one, but he will be back soon. So yeah, take it easy everyone.
Thank you for listening to the podcast on Haunted Hill. We will be back again real soon.